start it from here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds. So if I'm talking about now, I'm asking you the question, what kind of culture do you have or is created within your family unit? And here the Bible is telling us that whatever it is, you're going to make sure the foundation is right, and you're going to make sure that you're taking heed how you build within that environment, within that atmosphere, within that climate of your home. Make sure you're careful, or you're taking heed how you build, or what culture you are building in your family. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12 says this, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Because sometimes we can be thinking that we're on a particular trajectory, and actually we find out that we're not. We find out that we're lacking. We find out that actually something is missing. The thing not to do is not to panic, but the thing to do is to go to God prayerfully and say, Lord, I need your help and I need you to guide me. Can I get an amen? Alright, because that's what God wants anyway. So let's go through his acronym, okay? And then this acronym is going to give you pointers that will help you to make sure that the culture you have created, or the culture in your family, is equal and in line to God's word. C is for communication. Everybody say communication.
Communication.
What is it? It is the transmission and comprehension of information by verbal and non-verbal means. Okay? That's what, simply put, that's the definition I've always used through the years. And I find it to be the simplest and easiest to remember. The transmission and comprehension of information by verbal and non-verbal means. Careful communication is a must for every home, for every person, for every family, for everybody that exists, actually. Okay, now, some things that are involved in communication is your tone. Proverbs 15, verse 1. You're going to watch not just your tone, but you're going to watch your words. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Part of communication, as we just said, is not just verbal, but non-verbal. So your eye contact. Okay? You communicate in the way you look. When you roll your eyes, you are communicating something. When you stare, you are communicating something. Okay, hands, arms, the way you use your hands and your arms. You are actually sending a signal. You are sending a message. You are communicating to individuals. And head shaking. And communication, as I said down the bottom there, is only successful when it is understood. So if I'm saying a lot of things but you're not understanding, then something is wrong, either on your part or my part. But communication is not clear. So it is only successful when it is understood. Part of good communication is listening. So important. Where do you look? What are you thinking when somebody is talking to you? What feelings are behind the words that are spoken by your family members? Is there pain, pleasure, or perplexity? When you don't understand, the simple thing to do is to ask. But do you? And I find that, as a matter of fact, I've been doing a lot of reading in particular areas. And one of the things I've discovered is that those who were with Jesus, you know how they primarily learned from Jesus? By asking questions. That's so important. And that comes within another context of what I was reading about, but it's a principle that's there. When Jesus put himself around people, they asked questions, and that's how they drew information from him. So these are pointers to consider. Now, you, in the word culture, you is for unending understanding. Okay, understanding. So important. What is understanding? I've defined it so that we are clear on what this means. Understanding is the ability, and again, this is an old definition that I've used through the years, the ability to see how information and events relate. The ability to see how information and events relate. That's what understanding is. Now, let's have a look at some keys from the Bible that talks about understanding. Well, Matthew 15 verse 16 says we must not lack it. Proverbs 4 verse 7 says we must get it. Proverbs 2 verse 2 says we must apply our hearts to it. 1 Corinthians 14, 20 says that we must mature in it. And then Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 11 says that it will keep us. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 2 verse 11 says this: discretion will preserve you, and understanding will keep you. That's what that verse says. So understanding is so important. I preached a message one time, the importance of understanding. Because it's comprehension of information. It's comprehension of material and facts. It's clarity that's brought to my mind pertaining to a certain information that's relayed to me. Now, L. What does L stand for? What do you think L is for?
Love.
It is. Love. And I've put up there, live love. Don't let it be a four-letter word that, oh, I love you. Don't just use it. Live it. Let it be exemplified in your life, in your families. Love one another. Your family people ain't perfect, but guess what? Neither are you. So despite our differences, and I'm going to talk about that in a moment, despite our differences, we must always make sure that whatever is said, whatever is done, that guess what? Love is there. Now, John 3, verse 16 says that, well, we know what it says. For God so loved the world. That what did he do? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's what God was doing, was saying, he's not just saying, I love you, but he demonstrated it. He lived love by sending his precious Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. Now, love is a foundation of true Christian living. You take away that foundation, then everything else that you are building is shoddy. And it will fall. It won't stand. It won't last. Take love away, and you've taken away the most important ingredient or foundation that you need for the success of your family to be built up. So love is non-negotiable. This is not an option. This is something that we must do. And I get a loud amen.
Amen.
Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us now, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, that faith works by love. So hang on a minute. Because Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says that without faith it is impossible to please him. How many people are here to please God? So you need faith. Do you understand that? It is impossible to please God without faith. But hang on a minute. Your faith, no matter how big it is, no matter how much you say you have, it will not work if love is not there. Why? Because Galatians 5 verse 6 says, faith works by love. Do you see that, church? So love has to be there. And as I said, it's a platform upon which we build our families, our lives. Love suffers long and is kind. So yes, you have to put up with the tantrums at times, maybe from children. You will have to put up with the nonsense sometimes that can come from family members. And I know that every family goes through that. We do sometimes go through stuff. But we have to put up with it and make sure that love is there. And despite how you treat me, despite what you said, despite what you did, I don't like how you treat me, don't like what you said, I don't like what you did, but guess what? My love for you will never cease. It will never cease. It can't. It will never cease. Not if the true type of agape kind of love is there, the God kind of love. So we may need to make adjustments and changes pertaining to different behaviors that we see within the family unit. But love must be there. Must be there, church. And Hebrews 13 verse 1. Let brotherly love, the filial kind of love, continue. T. What do you think T is for? Yay! Totally got it. I must be teachable. Come on, say this with me. I must be teachable. Ready? Say it. I must be teachable. Church, that is a simple statement, but my goodness gracious me, it's so important. I cannot lead anybody who is not teachable. Because as I'm teaching and you're refuting and you're not listening and you're doing your own thing, no, that's going to create friction, it's going to create division, it's going to create problems. So, you know, having a teachable spirit is of the utmost importance. And for that to happen, humility has to be there. Children cannot learn from parents unless they humble themselves to the parents. So humility is a must. Proverbs 15 verse 33. Humility comes before honor. Proverbs 18 and verse 12. We must hear instruction. These are things that are pertinent to a teachable spirit. I must hear instruction. And there's so many scriptures that I could have put up here. There's so much that I could say. Each of these acronyms are actually subjects in itself that I could talk on for a long time. Revelation 2 verse 7 says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So I must be willing to learn and to learn from others. And you can only be willing to learn from others if you are humble. So I must be humble and I must have a teachable spirit. You, I'm going through this quickly because I don't want to be too long with you today. You. All right. So what do you think you is for? Do you want to? All right. All right. Let's go and have a look. Let's see. Unity. We said understanding already. So U is for unity. Okay. The second U in this word culture is for unity. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about that. Psalm 133 and verse 1 says, you know, it is a good... It talks about how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he goes on to describe it as the oil that flowed from Aaron's head down to his beard, onto his garment, right down to his feet. Oil always talks of anointing and the Holy Spirit. And notice it goes from the head right down to the feet. And he said it's a good thing. It's good to be in unity. What is that? In oneness, in togetherness, in agreement. And that's what we want in our families. We don't always get that. And we always have things, especially in today's world in which we're living. Church, there's a lot of challenges and a lot of things going on out there. And the devil, there is a devil, and he wants to bring division and he wants to smash families up. And so when you come here on a Sunday, what we do as pastors, we feed you. And elders, we feed you with God's word. We hear from God, we come, and we deliver what the Lord has placed in our heart. So that you can take these materials, His word, and be strengthened and encouraged, knowing that God is with you. Isn't that good news? God is with you. And more than that, God has your best interest at heart. He sees every struggle, every pain, every dilemma, every disagreement. God sees it. He's not ignorant of anything. You can't hide anything away from God and get away with it. He sees it, but still loves you. And what he's doing is saying, hey, my arms are outstretched. I have the solution. Let me help you. But he will never violate your will to come into your life. So you're going to have to respond by saying, Lord, I need your help. I really need you, Father. I really need your help with this problem, with this situation. Because as I said, every family has problems and situations and things they go through. But thank God we've got a God who loves us and cares for us. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4 says that we've got to endeavor in unity. Don't just have it. It's not a token to be weird, but endeavor in it, strive in it, grow in it, stay in it, work to keep the unity of the Spirit within your families. Do that. Because remember this, that God has given you everything that you need for good success in your life, in your families. You have it. But Pastor David, you don't know what I'm going through. We're going through great things right now. Yes, you're going through great things. But thank God, guess what? You said going through. You're not making your home in the problem. You are going through. And if you're carrying God with you, and if you're obedient to God, and if you keep focus on the Lord will help you. Can I get a loud amen?
Amen.
It's been my... I could share some things with you that will blow your mind. Of some of the things that I have gone through. Pastor John, myself. But we've kept our faith and our eyes on the Lord. And we pray for our children and our grandchildren, our four beautiful grandkids that we have. Yeah, and they're all here, actually. And we just love them. We pray for them every day. And that's what you've got to do. You've got to pray for your family unit. Teach them God's word. Sit with them. Share with them. Talk with them. Find out how their day is or was. Hey, what's going on in your life? Because sometimes, folks, you've got to be careful. And I know I was guilty of this in the past, but sometimes you can be caught up within your own self. And I guess maybe all of us are caught up with what's happening with you. That if you're not careful, you'll just put the kids here, give them something to do, and then bam, that's it. Separate yourself from them. So you know, you don't involve yourself with them so much and find out, well, how was your day like? Because guess what? They're going through things too. Alright. So unity must be, we see it. It must be unanimous in the home. We see it in the early church. Right there on the day of Pentecost, people were in unity. And when they were in unity, things happen. God moves. Because that's the atmosphere that God moves in. Alright? And we see that a family is necessary for... Well, it's necessary for families today. Obviously. Unity. R. What do you think R is for? Ooh. You guys are good, man. Did you see my notes? Did anybody go on my computer and see my notes? How come you're getting it right? Respect. R is for respect. I've defined it there for you. Respect is giving high regard, honor, or esteem to another. High regard, honor, or esteem to another. That's what respect is. We live in a society now, in a world now, where, to be honest with you, there's a lot of disrespect around. And sadly, even in churches. It's not just outside there in the world, even in churches. And we've got to make sure, as Christians, that we're working to make sure that we give honor to whom honor is due, and that we're respectful to one another. And the Bible teaches us to be respectful to our leaders and those around us. Don't just look on Claude as Claude. He's an elder in this church. And so, because we're in that office, respect is demanded because of the office that he's in. So don't just look at him as Claude. No, he's an elder. And so you give that respect that is due to that. Are you understanding me?
Yeah.
Within the family unit, it's the same thing. The Bible teaches us, children, honor your father. Respect them and your mother, that your days may be long on the earth. So there's always benefit when you begin to respect and show respect and give respect to whom respect is due. There's always benefits that will come from God when a person does that. So we've got to do that. But let's talk about something a little bit. Because before you can give respect, guess what? You have to have self-respect. If I don't respect myself, how on earth am I going to respect others? No, I've got to have it first. At the root of how you relate to others is how you see yourself. So if you have a good self-image, pertaining to yourself, you know who you are in Christ, you will have a good self-image. Okay? And your interaction with others won't be negative. If you have a bad self-image, you're going to have, there's something negative there, and your response, it's going to overflow in your response and your relationship with others. So, at the root of how you relate to others is how you see yourself. So you've got to see yourself. How do you see yourself? See yourself in the light of God's word. You are precious. You are wonderful. If you believe me, smile. You are marvelous. You are, folks. Please don't make the mistake of defining yourself, number one, according to what people say. Oh my gosh, if you allow people to define you, you give them permission to control you. Don't do that. Always define yourself in the light of God's word. How does God see you? That's how you should see yourself. And the Bible is filled with that. As I said, it's not full teaching. Just touching on points here today. But let's look at something else here. You deserve respect. If you are a street angel and a house devil, you will not deserve respect. So as much as I'm talking about you should be respected and you ought to, well, you ought to live in a way that you get that respect. But if you live, if you're a street angel, when everybody sees you in public, you're a nice person, but at home you're a devil, you're something else. How on earth are you going to expect respect to come to you from those who really know you? Can't work like that. So whatever you practice at, whatever whoever you are in public is how you should be at home. Let me move on. Show respect through your words. Avoid jokes with a jab. You know, sometimes you can give a joke, but underneath it is sort of, you're digging at somebody, or you're relating it to something that happened in a that's negative. Avoid that. Avoid language that offends. Be positive about differences. Celebrate them, man. We're all different. There's no two individuals on this planet, let alone your family, that are alike. 8 billion people is it now on the planet? And guess what? There's no two that are alike. Everybody's different. Everybody's unique, and that God made them that way. Celebrate it. Be tolerant of minor flaws, because guess what? You got them too. You're seeing the flaws in others, but hey, you've got them too. If anything, work with the individual to help them while you're working at yourself to help you too. Never criticize what you don't understand. Get understanding first by asking questions, by drawing alongside, by zipping and listening. Be polite. Show respect through listening. Give full attention. Accept her feelings. Respect his opinions. When she shares, accept that you are listening to feelings and not complaints. It may sound like a complaint, but it's not. Now, next month, I'm going to go through, and there's leaflets at the back there now. I'm going to go through some nuggets. The whole month, I'm going to give you nuggets. There's a pointers. There's a valuable nuggets that I'm going to give you in the topic or the arena of relationships. So, this I'm just touching on this today, but in the month of July, you're going to get nuggets. Every Sunday, I'm going to give you nuggets. I'm going to give you information, some of which you've not heard before, I've never taught before. That points towards building good, healthy relationships. But you're getting some here today now. Respect his opinion. When she shares, accept that you are listening to her feelings and not complaints. And it's just the way, the difference between how a man is built from a woman, a male from female. We're built differently. And we've got to understand that. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us that. All right. Show respect by what you do. Be courteous. What is courtesy? Courtesy is love in little things. Right? Telephone. Text. Send a WhatsApp message when you're going to be home late. She's expecting you at a certain time. He's expecting you at a certain time. And you're going to be late. Show courtesy, man. Just by telephoning. Hey, baby, sorry, I'm going to be home. If it's your wife. I'm going to be home late. I'm held up at work. Tidy up after yourself. You're leaving your mess for other family members to tidy up for. Create a router if you need it in the home. Hello? We've done that from we've been raising our kids. We've always had a router, and sometimes a router is typed out and put there on the wall in the kitchen so that they will know who is to do what on what day. The bathroom to tidy up, the dining room, the living room, the kitchen. The kitchen was a big thing, wasn't it? Now it's only me, Joy, and Joshua. We have a router. We have responsibilities. But we also, even though we have particular days to tidy, we have particular days to cook, we still help one another out when it's not our day, if we got that time. But we know that this day, like Joy is to cook Saturday, Sunday. She knows that today is her day to cook. Amen. But it's my day also to wash up. that's a donut. But I get on with it. But yesterday was my day. Today's my day to wash up. Yesterday I noticed that I was getting help. I think was it Joshua I was getting help from in the kitchen. And he didn't say anything. He just came and just did it. And I said, wonderful. Well done. And when, you know, I see it to do, I just do it. Man, tidy up after yourselves. You're following me, church. Don't wait for, in your family units, don't wait for somebody to say, well, it's not my day today to tidy up. No, if you see it to do it and you can do it, do it. But at the same time, just gently remind them and say, hey, remember it's your, like we do at home, remember it's your day to cook. We remind Joshua when it's his day to cook and he goes and gets takeaway. I don't complain. But we warn them about that, because there's always a danger that we can fall in where, because you've got money, don't mean you can just do that. Discipline yourself to do what needs to be done so that the meal can be a good, healthy one. But sometimes things overtake us and we get taken. Be considerate. Show respect by what you do. Be considerate. And that's what I was just talking about. So I don't need to go on anymore with that. And what do you think E stands for? You're not going to get this. I prophesy you won't get it. Sorry? That's a good one, you know. That's a very good one. But it's not. It's this kind of odd. It's the word embrace. I kind of cheated there. Right? Embrace differences. And I guess I've said that in what I've just said actually as well. Every family is different. Every person in every single family is different. Okay? Celebrate those differences. Don't criticize them because they're different. Celebrate those differences. Work with one another. Depending on what the differences are, maybe some changes needed. But again, work with one another on that foundation of love that is built there. Embrace the differences in language, because in some family units, your accent can be different. You know, and your speech might be different. Their dress and their looks. I had someone ring me up and was asking me counsel and advice because their son was wearing a particular hairstyle and he was not the way that he grew up. He didn't like it, he didn't want it, and we had to talk to him and say, listen, is everything else okay? Is he doing this and is he doing that? Is that okay? Everything else was okay. It was just this modern thing that actually became something, a little something in the family unit, and I counseled him to embrace his son, to love his son, and to just love him. Don't look at the hair, look at the boy. Look at him. And he did that, and, you know, things are good, praise God. In mannerisms, conduct, behavior, embrace the differences in methods and styles and ways. Don't get me wrong. If you're like a teenager, come home or put on a miniskirt to go to a party, I'm not saying, oh, embrace that difference and it's just young people. No, they need parameters, they need guidance. Am I right?
Yeah.
And so we give it to them. All right? But use wisdom and make sure that whatever you're doing is done
in love.
Thank you. John Wooden. He said this. I quoted him at the beginning and I quote him near the end. Discipline yourself, then others won't have to. What is discipline? Discipline is simply put a set of a system of behavioral patterns that you have put in place to keep you on a projected path. So you set yourself to go on this path, and this is the path I'm going to go, and this is what I'm going to do. Discipline yourself to keep yourself on that path. Then if you do that, others won't need to do that. So, you know, it's your day to cook. Discipline yourself. Don't say, oh, discipline yourself. It's my day to cook, so I'm going to prepare. I'm going to make sure there's meat. I'm going to make sure there's rice. Everything that's needed. I'm going to look in the cupboard, see them. And I'm going to do everything that I can. And it may be hard work. You may not feel like it, but praise God, we don't go by feelings. We go by faith. Not all the time, innit? All right? Discipline yourself, then you won't have to. Let me close with some scriptures. Now I'm finished. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither is there slave nor free, neither is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3, verses 9 to 11. And this is the last scripture. Do not lie to one another. Hey, don't lie to cover up the wrongs that's done in the family. Why? Since you have put off the old man, that's what the old man used to do, with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian nor Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So, let me ask you, what culture is in your family unit? What culture have you created? Does it glorify God? Are you embracing? Are you doing all these things that's on the screen? Are they in place? And if not, don't worry about it. That's why I brought this, so that you can take your pictures, do whatever you need, take this information, it's recorded, so it'll be on our website, and put it into practice in your life, so that you can live out these values and that God may be glorified and your family unit will be a strong one. Why? Because you have put these things into place under the direction of the Holy Spirit, who is there to help you and be with you in all things. Let's bow our heads in prayer, shall we? Bow our heads. And I don't know, are you here today and you say, you know what, Pastor David, I really need God's help. You know, thank God for what I'm going through. Oh, we're going through some stuff or some things, and, you know, I really see where I need God's help more than ever before. Are you here? Is that you today? Just slip your hand up and then put it right back down so that the Lord can see it. He said, Pastor David, I need help today with my family unit, with a problem I'm going through, or with the future, or some changes that's needed, and I really need God's help. If that's you today, just slip your hand up. Thank you, put your hand down. Thank you, put your hand up. Anybody else, just slip your hand up, man. Thank you, put your hand up. God sees and knows everything. Thank you, put your hand up. You're raising it not to me, to God. I'm not going to call you to the front, but I am going to pray for you this morning. Anybody else, say, yes, I need the Lord's help in decisions and choices that I need to make. Yes, I see that hand. Put your hand down. Last call. Is there anybody else? Just raise your hand right now. And God will see and God will honor in Jesus' name. Because He's here to help, and that's what it's all about. Father, I thank you for every individual who have raised their hands, Lord. And Father, as I've always said, they've not raised their hands to me, but they've raised it to you, Lord. And Father, they're acknowledging that they need your help on any level, Lord, whatever level that might be. It could be that everything is going fine, oh Lord, but they just need you because they're anxious maybe about something or the future. Or maybe they're going through things, Lord God, that they just realize, Lord God, that they need you. Or maybe one of these elements, oh God, one or more, is missing, Lord God, and they see where they need to make change. And Father, we thank you because, Lord, you are calling us to change, Lord. And as they've raised their hands, they're raising it to you saying, Lord, Father, I need you. I cannot do it without you. I need your wisdom. I need your courage. I need your input, your strength, your anointing, Lord. And Father, we thank you because, Lord, you said when we ask, you will graciously give, Lord. And you will give in abundance, Lord God, to him who asks. So, Father, thank you today for your faithfulness, Lord God. And I pray that you'll help us, Lord God, to create that culture, Lord God, that glorifies you within our family units, Lord. And we see, Lord God, what the enemy is doing today, Lord God, in family units, Lord. And we see, Lord God, where stubbornness in areas can exist, Lord God. Individuals wanting their way. But Lord, we pray, as we've heard today, that Lord God, we will humble ourselves. And that teach us, Lord, to live love, Lord. The basis, the platform upon which we are building our families. So I lift up every person who have raised their hands. And I want to thank you, Lord God, for the input that you are giving even now. Input of wisdom, of strength. Then they leave this place today. They will go and they say, yes, Lord, thank you that you have spoken to my heart. You've spoken to me. And thank you, Lord, because I believe that you are going to do great things in my family, Lord. It may not look like it, Father. The complete opposite picture may be present. But Father, thank you that you're a God of a turnaround. And nobody turns things around as good as you do, Lord. And so we come to you, a God who says, with me all things are possible. And all things are possible for us if we believe. And we say, Lord, we choose to believe you. For the wider congregation, I lift them up to you, Lord. Every single one. And I pray whatever and wherever they are in their walk with you, Lord, that, Father, your hand will be upon them, that you will strengthen them, that you'll keep them. And, Lord, away with excuses, Lord. But we will determine ourselves, Lord, and our families, that we will serve you. We will have the disciplines in place, Lord, to bring out the best in each other. So thank you, Father, for our families. Thank you, Lord, for you and who you are. And we're in a wider family, the family of God, and we thank you for that, Lord. And we give you all the praise today. Lord, we give you all the glory for your mighty works and your goodness toward us. In Jesus' precious, mighty name. And everybody say,
amen.
And amen. Oh, praise God. Well, praise God.